Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Basra Samach Beis, we are holding right on top on the first line, Motzar Loi Meitzar. So, in today's Daf, we have a fellow, let's call him Reuven, selling his field to Shimon. We're going to have many types of Lishonos, different expressions and phrases, different scenarios of, you know, border delineations, and based on that, we're going to try to figure out what he had in mind. How much of this field is he actually selling him? Now, you'll note that the Rashbam has many diagrams today, so perhaps it would be wise to keep an eye on those diagrams as we proceed in the Gemara to afford us more clarity and better understanding of the halacha. So let's go. Here begins the first case. Matzar loy meitzar echad arich, umeitzar echad kotzer. So we have this property situated between other, you know, neighboring properties. Now, let's refer to the first diagram of the Rashbam. So you'll see there is kotzer on top. Let's call it top and bottom. The top is, let's say, east, Mizrach, the bottom is west. But just for clarity's sake, let's call it top and bottom. So we have this field right in the middle, which is bordered by fields all around. And we have, let's say we have two property owners living on top. We have Reuven, whose field is adjacent to this, you know, said property, to this middle property. His field runs from the right corner to the middle of this property. And his neighbor Shimon picks it up from there. And his field continues on to the left side. On the bottom of this said property, we have one single long boundary belonging to, let's call him Yehuda. Okay, so now his property runs alongside the middle property, going all the way from right to left. Reuven tells Shimon, look, I'm selling you this property, which on one side borders Yehuda. On the other side, on the top, it borders Reuven. So he's using contradictory forms of identifying his boundaries. Because on the one hand, he's relating to Yehuda, whose property is totally adjacent to this said property, all the way from the right to the left. It would seem like he's selling him the entire property in the middle, which neighbors Yehuda. On the other hand, when it comes to the top of the property, he's simply just referencing Reuven, whose property merely borders only half of the said property. So how much of this said, of this middle property, is he selling him? Is it 100 am along or only 50 am along? So again, Matzar loy meitzar echad arach. If he identified one longer boundary, umeitzar echad kotzer, and on the other side, a shorter boundary, so how much was included? Amar Rav, he only gets half the field, the part corresponding to the part which is opposite Reuven's shorter property. And the fact that he made reference to the longer boundary on bottom, well, he had no choice. What could he have done? I'm only selling you the property which is up to half of Yehuda's property. That's not a way to speak. So to keep things clear and unconfused, He just made simple reference to Yehuda on the bottom, but of course he didn't mean that the property that he is selling runs all along Yehuda's property. No, actually only halfway, as per the marking on top, which he identified as corresponding to Reuven's property, which is only halfway across. Lekona el kenegda katz, thus according to Rav, he acquires half the field. Amr le Rav Kahana v'Ravasi le Rav. Why is he only going to be kainah the field opposite Reuven? V'yikne keneged reish tur. I understand that he's not going to get the entire property. But what about a diagonal, like a head of an ox, which is sort of a triangular shaped, feature thing? So perhaps that's what he meant. Just cut it, slice it on a diagonal. So he'll start from the kotzer, right, on top, and run a line from there all the way to the left bottom corner, to the end of the aruch. So fine, you don't get the entire property, the entire square. But perhaps the reason why he referenced the katzer on the aruch is because he wanted him to get a diagonal. And this reconciles his contradictory references, right? That was their kash. Why only giving him a smaller piece? Perhaps it was meant to be. Shasig Rav, and Rav remained silent. And the Rashbam learns, Shtika Kohida, he agreed to them that in fact in this case it makes sense that we give him more than just Keneged HaKotzer, and the way we explain it is based on the Gemara coming soon. Rashbam explains that, you see, in this case, he didn't really have much of a choice. The reason why he referred to his property as bordering Yehuda, that's because Yehuda happens to be all along the bottom of the property. I mean, what else should he have done? So, that was Rav's original thinking. Right? But he didn't really want to give him the entire square, but at least he agreed to Rav Kana Rav Asi that he's entitled to a property which is shaped like a tour, like a triangle, with a diagonal running from the Kotzer to the Aruch. Now, Umoy de Rav, the Mur continues, that even though initially Rav held, then he only gets the smaller shape, only gets the Keneged HaKotzer, smaller portion, hey, Rav would agree, Hecha de'ika meitza Reuven v'Shimon machad giso. You see, the way we explained it was that in our case, true, we have Reuven and Shimon on top, and he only made reference to Reuven, but on the bottom he only has one person, Yehuda, neighboring him, who happens to run all along his bottom border, his bottom boundary. So making a reference to Yehuda doesn't necessarily indicate that I want to sell you the entire area. There was just no other way of referencing that boundary. But Rav would agree if he has two neighbors on top and two neighbors on bottom. Okay, so let's go down to the next diagram of the Rashbam. So the next one shows the Rosh Tur, right? Which is that diagonal cut. And then the next one, the third diagram, right below it, you'll see the four neighbors, Reuven and Shimon on top, and Levi and Yehuda on bottom. This is a totally new case. So here, if he indeed, his intention was simply to sell him half the field, he should have said so. He should have said, I'm giving you the property which is situated between Reuven and Levi. Pretty straightforward. So he only gets, you know, half the property, or between Shimon and Yehuda. What did he choose to do? He chose to say as follows: my property that I'm selling you is between Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda. Why did he make reference to Reuven and Shimon? Here he could have easily, clearly stated what he had in mind, because he has so many neighbors on all sides. He could have said, he should have said, it's the property between Reuven and Levi, if he indeed meant to sell him only that portion, or between Shimon and Yehuda. He chose to make things confusing for us. I'm selling it to you between Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda, or between Reuven and Shimon and Levi. So in this case, even Rav would have agreed to Rav Kana Rav Asi. There would have been no discussion. Of course, in this case, it gets Keneged Rosh Tur. We slice it across from the Kotzer to the Aruch, like a diagonal, like a triangular shaped property. Oh my dear Rav, even Rav would have agreed. Hecha de'ikam meitzer Reuven v'Shimon b'chad gisa. When on one side we have Reuven and Shimon neighboring the property, Umeitzer Levi Yehuda Machad Gisa. On the other side, we have the boundary next to Levi and Yehuda. In this case, certainly, if he would have meant only a small portion, he should have said, for instance, the Reuven Keneged Levi, the property situated between Reuven and Levi, or with the Shimon Keneged Yehuda, the property between Shimon and Yehuda. Like possibly, he failed to do so. Instead, he says, I'm selling you between Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda. Shema Minu Keneged Rosh Tur, apparently, he's trying to give him more than just half the field, Rather, he's going to get Keneged Rosh Tur running from the Katzer all the way to the corner of the Aruch in a diagonal fashion. Okay, here comes another case. Meitzer Reuven Mizrach Umar Umeitzer Shimon Tzofim Vidar. So let's drop down to the next diagram in the Rashbam. You'll see Reuven and Shimon, but they alternate. So Levi owned the middle property, surrounded by his two good friends, Reuven and Shimon. But the thing is that Reuven and Shimon owned every other property. They alternated. You have one side Reuven, the other side Shimon, then down to Reuven, then over to Shimon. And I'm selling you this middle property. So I could just easily say, you know, very simply, I'm selling you the property situated between Reuven and Shimon. That's not enough. Because in that case, you know what he would get? Take a look at that diagram. You see that diagonal running right through the middle? He would only get one of these triangles, which happens to be situated between Reuven and Shimon. That's what he told him, between Reuven and Shimon. He'll get only half the field. So to ensure that he gets the entire property, he has to make it clear. He has to say that the property that is for sale, the property that I'm selling you, is situated between double Reuven and double Shimon, two properties of Reuven and both of Shimon's properties. Now we know that he's selling him the entire square. So let's see the Gemara again. Meitzer Reuven Mizrach Umarav. If Reuven is situated on the Mizrach on the Marav, Umeitzer Shimon Tzofen Vadar. Shimon is on Tzofen Vadar. And I'd like to sell you the entire middle field. Tzorach L'michtav Leid. The only way to do it is to say it clearly. Meitzer Reuven Ruchen Train. Umeitzer Shimon Ruchen Train. You have double Meitzer with Reuven and a double Meitzer with Shimon on two sides. This way we know everything is included. Here comes another interesting shaila. Iboilu, the Bnei HaYeshiva would like to know as follows. Siyem lo yis akrona yismahu. Let's drop down to the next diagram in the Rashbam, the one that has that like that X. So you see there's Reuven on one corner, right? He's a neighbor on one corner. Shimon is a neighbor on the other corner. You see, this property that I'm selling you, the one in the middle, is surrounded by many people. But on the corners, we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. There are other people along the sides as well, but I failed to mention those people. I'm selling you a property which neighbors Reuven on this corner, Shimon on the other corner, Levi on this corner, and Yehuda on the other corner. Is that enough to grant you ownership of the entire property? Or do we say no? Maybe. He's only selling him a strip running from one corner to the other and the other corner to this corner, like an X. Maybe that's all he's giving him. Siemo is akronis. He identified the corners mao. What happens now? We're not sure. Or let's say kimin gam mao. Let's say he went a step further. Let's refer to the next diagram, to the left of this one. So here it's not just the corners. Gam is like an L, a Greek letter. It's like an L. So he went around the bend as well. I'm selling you a property, okay, which has the following neighbors along the bends, not just the corners, along the bends. So he made more of a reference than just corners. Made reference to the people living alongside the corners as well, but not the entire boundary. He didn't identify the entire boundary, just the bends on both sides. Oh, so perhaps in this case it's better because it's sort of enwrapping the property and everything inside is included. On the other hand, you can say no, and that drops us down to the next diagram. Perhaps he only sold him a strip of property running from one L to the other. Next question: Biseirugin Mahu. And that takes us to the next diagram in the Rashbam. So we have this property surrounded by many people. You have Reuven next to Shimon, next to Levi, next to Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yisrael, Binyamin. And for clarity's sake, when he identified the boundaries and the neighbors, he only went to every other one. He says, look, I'm selling you a property which is situated between Reuven and Levi. He skipped Shimon. And Yisachar, he skipped Yehuda. And Yosef, he skipped. Right? So he mentioned every other one. Is that enough to indicate that he's selling him the entire property enveloped between these neighbors? Or do we say no? He's only selling him a bunch of triangles, like a pizza pie. You have to slice it into a bunch of triangles, and he only gets the portions which are situated next to those neighbors that he explicitly mentioned. So if you mentioned Reuven and Levi and Yisachar and Yosef, this fellow will get the piece which is next to Reuven, next to Levi, next to Yisachar, next to Yosef, not the rest. So Mao, what does the halacha take you in all these situations? We're not sure. We'll let it stand for further pending further clarity. Next case. Meitzer loy, Motzer loy, Meitzer Rishon, or Meitzer Sheni. Right? I'm selling you a specific property, right? And I'm identifying for you. He identified the boundaries on three sides. So on this side it borders the ravine, on this side it borders Shimon's property, on this side it borders Levi's property, and he failed to mention the fourth side. Okay. On the one hand, you can say, why mention it? Self-understood. I mean, if it's within these three sides, then it's got a fourth side as well, right? So Matzah Le Meitzah Rishon, Meitzah Sheni, Meitzah Shlishi, but Meitzah Revi Le Matzah Le, you fail to mention the fourth boundary. Now, the word Meitzah can indicate boundary, but also, as we learned the other day, Meitzah typically is like an elevated, sort of like a pathway, an access path to the field. It was meant to sort of guard the field. So it was an entity on its own. It was something tangible. Amar Rav. So Rav says in this case, Konakol. True, he gets the entire field, which is situated between these boundaries. Chutz Meitzah Raviv, except for the actual Meitzah on the fourth side. That he kept for himself. Right? As indicated in the fact that he failed to mention it. Ushmuel Amar Afilu Meitzah Raviv. Kana. Shmuel does not distinguish. He says he's not going to leave over just a Meitzah. It doesn't make sense. Right? If he's giving him the field, the Meitzah is part of the field. It's part of the field. It serves the field. The fact that he failed to mention it doesn't mean anything. But Rav Asi Amar, he takes it a step further. Loikana, guess what? The buyer gets nothing. Elo telem echad al pnei kula, he gets one strip of land running through the three sides that he mentioned. So he gets one furrow running along the three boundaries that he mentioned, but the entire middle he doesn't get. Why? Because on the one hand, Savala Karav. Rav Asi adopted Rav's approach. If he failed to mention, then it's not included. Domar Shiri Shire. But Rav Asi takes it a step further. Not just the Meitzar is left out. The entire field is left out, except for the areas immediately next to those boundaries that he in fact mentioned. Uma de Shai b'Meitzar, the fact that he left over a Meitzar, Shai nam b'kul, we assume he left over everything. Meaning, unless you speak clearly, we assume it's not included. Nope, so what's the halacha? We have three shittas. Again, we have a case where he sold him a property. He identified one border, the other boundary, the third boundary, but failed to mention the fourth one. So we have three shittas. Shmuel says it's all included. Rav says it's all included except for the Meitzar. Then we have Rav Asi who says he gets pretty much nothing. Amar Rav, Hilchasa, the halacha is, like Rav. Kona HaKoil, he gets the entire field except for that boundary. Chutz mi Meitzar Revi. However, says Rav, you know, why would we consider the Meitzar Revi out of the deal? That's only because, number one, it's located out of bounds. And number two, it has chashivas due to its size, to its content, as we're going to see. So two conditions have to be met. It has to meet two criterions in order for it to not to be included in the deal. V'loy amar, it's only a concern of loy mavle, if it's not enveloped. That takes us to the next diagram of the Rashbam. You see muvla on the one side, and loy muvla on the left side. So that rectangular shaped thing is the meitzar itself. On the right side, we have a muvla situation. So you see that the rectangle is sort of enveloped within the boundaries on the right and the left. On the left, we have loy muvla. It's situated beyond the boundaries on the right and the left. So it has its own sort of location. So it's only not included if it's loy mavla, if it's out of bounds. Aval mavla, but if it's in bounds, if it's included in the, if it's enveloped within the other boundaries, kana, of course, it's included in the deal. That's one condition, location. But that's not enough to leave it off the deal. It has to have significance. It has to have chashivas. Even if it's not enveloped, it's also not going to be a concern. Unless it has on it a line, a row of palm trees, or it's 9 kav in size, which is the minimum size of a proper field. So that has chashivas, has significance. So we have both elements playing against the buyer. Number one, location. Number two, it's chashivas. Aval, but if it's lacking any one of these two elements, either location or substance, aval leka alei ruchah the diklet v'leihav etishas kav, doesn't have chashivas, kona, then it's included. Mechlal, says the Gemara. Oh, apparently, dechi muvla, if it is enveloped, alva gav deika alei ruchah the diklet v'leihav etishas kav, even if it has chashivas, it doesn't matter. Kona, it's included because, again, you need both factors. A, location, it has to be out of bounds, and B, substance. That's the first version of Rava. Two conditions are required to leave it off the deal. Yikad Amri Amar Rava. According to the second version of Rava, even one element is sufficient to leave it off the deal. So Rava said as follows. Hilchasa, what's the conclusion on this case? Kana HaKoil, even if he failed to mention the fourth side, it's all included. Ba'afilu Meitzar Revi, even the fourth boundary. V'lo Yamaran, it's only true that it's included. Ela de Mavla, if it's enveloped. Avalei Mavla, if it's not enveloped, Loikani, it's not included. So merely location is enough to exclude it. V'chi Mavla, not merely Amar. Even if it's included, if it's enveloped, so you don't have the location factor, it's only going to be included in the deal. Ela deleka lircha dediklo. And that's only if it doesn't have chashivas. But if it has chashivas in terms of size and content, it's not included. So according to the second version of Rava, he's more machmer. Any one of these elements, either location or content, is enough to leave it off the deal. Michlal, but apparently, if it's not enveloped, so it has the location factor. Even if it doesn't have the content, it doesn't have the size. Like Kani, it's not included. So what's the bottom line? Says the Gemara, Shaminim Tarvaya Lishnei de Rava. We can conclude based on both. Let's summarize both Lishonos of Rava. There's no discussion. The Besada Loishir Lemiti. The actual field is totally included. There's no exclusion in the field itself. Our discussion pertains only to the Meitza, right? Next, V'Shaminim Nami, and all agree as well. The Echad Amavla V'Lekalei Rich V'Dedik. If it is enveloped in the other mitzvah and it doesn't have substance, doesn't have chashivas, of course, in this case, all agree that he's kana. On the other hand, loy mavla, if it's not enveloped, and it has substance, it has chashivas, so you have two strikes against you, A, location, and B, content, loy kana, all agree, it's not included in the deal. But if it's one and not the other, that's the question. Mivla, if it's enveloped, so you have the location factor in your favor, but it has chashivas, it has the rich for the dikli, or it has the size. Or on the other hand, loy mavla, it's not enveloped. So you have that strike against you. But it doesn't have chashivas. So that depends on the two versions of Rava. Itma la l'haikisa, we have one version going this way, saying it is included, because one factor is not enough to leave it out. Itma la l'haikisa, we have the other version which says one factor is enough to leave it off the deal. So what do we do? Shuda the daini, let the dayanim determine by assessing, digging into the case and perhaps interviewing the parties involved, figuring out exactly what they have in mind and how to proceed. Okay, so let's just summarize. We have a situation where he sold him a field, but he only delineated three borders and not the fourth. Shmuel says it doesn't matter; it's all included. It's self-understood. Ravasi says he only gets a strip running along the three sides. Rav says he gets the entire field, but not the meitzar. We have two versions. In Rava, who paskin like Rav, that the Meitzar is out. It's only out if both factors are against you, location and content. According to the second version, even one element is enough to keep it off the deal. Here comes another aloch. I'm a Rav. Palgo the Isli Bar, Palgo. We have Reuven and Shimon that are partners, shutafen in a property, each one owning 50%. Reuven now goes ahead and sells his share. And he says, Palgo the Isli Bar, the half that I have in this property, I am selling to you. So how much is he selling? Palgo, the entire half. The half that he owns. What if he says, a bit cryptically, Palgo ba'ara de'isli. I'm selling you half in the property that I own. So what did he mean? He meant half that I own in this entire property, which is his entire share, or only half of his half that he owns, which is only a quarter. Riva says, Rava, he only sold a quarter. Only Abai disagreed. What's the difference to how he said it? Ma'ishnahachi. What difference does it make whether he said it like this or like that? And Rashbam explains, even if he said it the second way, you know what he meant to say? He meant to say, I'm selling you half of this entire property because that's my portion in this broader property. I'm not just speaking about my share. I'm telling you, I'm selling you the half that I own in this entire property, which is the jointly owned property. But ultimately, I'm selling you my full portion, which is half. That's Abaye's opinion. So that was Abaye's kasha on Rabba. Ishtik and Rabba did not respond. Amar Abaye figured. He conceded. Shtika kaido, right? Ano, sorry, I figured. Midi Ishtik. The fact that he didn't respond, kibuli kabul indicates that he accepted my challenge. And in both cases, the fellow sold his entire share, which is 50%. Veloy, it's incorrect, says Abaye. Later on, I figured out that Rabba did not concede to me. Rabba held his position because Chazina, I noticed, I took a look at Hanu Shtori, these documents, Tanav Kimi Be'mar, which were issued in the Bezna of Rabba, and related to these types of cases. And guess what? Uksib Behu Hachi. And in those documents, I noticed these phrases, these Ashoines, Palga de Isli Ba'ara. Palga. That if a fellow sells half that he has in this property, Palga de Isli Ba'ara, he meant to sell half. But if it's Palga Ba'ara de Isli, half of the property that I own, he didn't mean half of the entire property. He meant half of his half, which is a total of Revia. Riva, only a quarter. And Rashbam says, how did Abaye know that in fact the Palga and the Riva means the quarter, the half of the entire field and the Riva of the entire property? So he says like this, that how did Abaye know that in the first case he sold half, in the second case a quarter? He says, because look at the second part of the shtar. It explained itself. In the Sefer Shtar, it said clearly, in the first case it said that he sold him half, in the second case he sold him a quarter. If Yom Rava comes Rava with another halach. Now, we have a plain person owning a property. Reuven owns his property, and he's selling off part of the property to Shimon, and retaining ownership on part of it as well. But he didn't explain himself in the Shtar as to how much he's selling. I'm selling you a portion of my property. How much? He didn't explain. Vama Rava. Meitzar Ara. I'm selling you a property. So this is the Meitzar Ara, the boundaries of this property. The Minah Palga, from which I am dividing, you know, a chelik for you. Palga means I'm dividing it between both of us. The Rashbam adds the word chalukah, that he's, you know, in Lashon Kodesh, you say it differently. In Aramaic, palga means to divide, to section off, and in Lashon Kodesh, he would have said that I'm being chelik to you. So how much did he give him? We assume that this type of word, palga or chalukah, means half. Half. I'm dividing it in half. I'm selling you half my property, palga. He meant to sell him half. But if he says meitzarara, this is the boundary of this property, there be no psika from which I am sectioning off a piece for you. How much did he give him? No. It's not 50%. It's tes kapin. In this case, we assume he only gave him a portion of the property, which suffices for making of a proper farm. The minimum shear of a farm is tes kapin. Okay, that's what he gave him. Right? A plot which is suitable for planting, for a sada, 9 kaf. I'm only Abaye. Once again, Abaye challenged Rabba. Ma'ishna hachi. What difference does it make if he says it like this or like that? Ishtik and Rabba remained silent, did not respond. Now, Savar Mina, the Talmidim, the Bnei Yeshiva, upon hearing this back and forth, figured, what was Abaye's position? Like before, either way, whether he said it like this or like that, he meant to sell him half. So even in the second Lashon, he meant to give him half, unless noted otherwise. That's what they thought Abaye meant. But Lohi says, the more it's incorrect. We have to clarify Abaye's position. He never meant that either way he gets half. How do we know this? D'amar Rav Yemar Bashlamya. He told us, L'didi mifashli minei d'Abaye. To me it was explained by Abaye himself. Bein meitzar ara, whether it's the first expression or the second expression, it doesn't mean anything until we have further elaboration. Bein meitzar ara, whether he said, these are the boundaries of the property, d'mino palga, that I'm dividing between us. Or bein meitzar ara d'mino psika, or whether he referenced the boundary of the property from which he is sectioning off a piece. How much did he mean to give him? The answer is, let's take a look at the next part. Let's examine the next part of the shtar. If he added, elaborated further, he says, well, these are the boundaries. He didn't have to say that. That extra expression, extra lashon, says the Rashbam, is liyakbis kecha to empower the buyer to give him more than just a bare minimum. In this case, we assume he was generous. He sold him palga half. But however, if he did not make that elaboration, liyamalei elaine mitzrano, he didn't add this point. These are the boundaries. We assume he gave him the bare minimum, suitable for planting, which is tisha kav. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. He sold him a property situated between other adjacent properties. And the way he described it was as follows. On the top, it borders this neighbor, who happens to have a property running only halfway across my property. On the bottom, he made reference to another neighbor, whose property runs all across the bottom. In this case, says Rav, he only gets the property corresponding to the shorter boundary. He was challenged by Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. Perhaps he gets a diagonally shaped property, and that's how we conclude. Shasik Rav. Now, we'll all agree that if he has two neighbors on top, each one neighboring only half the property, and two neighbors on bottom, each one adjacent only half the property, and he made reference to both neighbors on bottom, all agree, even Rav would have agreed that he gets Keneged Reshtur, we slice it in a diagonal way. Next case was, he has two neighbors, but they have their field situated around his property as follows. It's Reuven, then Shimon, followed by Reuven, then Shimon. If he wants to sell the entire middle property, he has to indicate that his property is situated between two Reuvens and two Shimons. Otherwise, he gets just a slice across the middle. What about if you mention just the corners, or Kimin Gam, or Besei Rugen? We're not sure how to deal with that. What about if he's selling him a property, and he marked three borders and not the fourth? Shmuel says, it doesn't matter, it's all included. Rav says the border is left out, Rava says, provided that has its own, you know, independent identity. We have two versions of Rava. Either it's separate in terms of location and content, or one of those two conditions are met. Either way, it's not included. Then we have Rabu regarding a partner. In one case, he sold him half, in one case, a quarter. Abaye challenged it. Then we have a fellow who sold part of his property. In one case, he sells him half. In one case, only Tisha Kabin. That was Rabu's opinion. Abaye concluded likewise, but it all depends on whether he elaborated and added that extra expression in the shtar. That gives him 50%, otherwise, it's only 9 kabin. All the best to you, Psuras Tevis, and Atzlach Rav.